Dave Emery here. This is Side 2 of For the Record program number 818. Can You Put Lipstick on a Nazi? Part 3. Subtitled Update on Ukraine and Timeline of the Development of Ukrainian Fascism. This is being recorded on November 6th of the year 2014. We're going to access some more of that GermanForeignPolicy.com post called Nationalist Upsurge, talking about the dire economic straits in Ukraine. It remains to be seen what this winds up doing, but for those Ukrainian citizens who really, 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 really wanted to be part of the EU, that there's an old expression, be careful what you get. Now, they have not adopted the euro. However, austerity has become the watchword of the day for the EU as well as the EMU, and Ukraine is already in pretty bad shape. Skipping down. Regardless of election results, there are already indications of new social cutbacks. Economically, Ukraine is on the verge of collapse. This year's economic performance will shrink by up to 10%, correspondents report. The budget could reach a deficit of more than 7% of GDP. Since the beginning of the new year, the Ukrainian currency, the hryvnia, H-R-Y-V-N-A, has lost well over half of its value vis-a-vis the U.S. dollar, causing the price of imported goods to soar. In addition, the costs of energy have also been rising. Inflation is running at around 12%. No one expects the $17 billion in IMF bailouts up to 2016 to suffice. Therefore, now that Kiev has joined the Western hegemonic sphere of influence, it is insisting on financial support from Berlin and the EU. The German government is only willing to participate in limited financing. At best, a limited share of the cost for Russian gas deliveries in Ukraine could be covered, according to the EU's Energy Commissioner Günther Oettinger's entourage. OETTINGER, continuing. The Ukrainian government must revise its budget. This implies wide-ranging social cuts. The fact that no final agreement has been reached with Russia on the supply of natural gas is advantageous to President Petro Poroshenko and Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk. By the way, that has since been realized. Skipping down. This post concludes with discussion of something that had a lot of publicity in the U.S., the New York Times, among other papers. The Internet all featured this allegation that Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, had approached Donald Tusk, the president of Poland, and offered to basically divide Ukraine between Russia and Poland. That was something that had been done prior to World War II. It is interesting to see the former foreign minister of Poland touting what, as we will see, is simply a fabrication. Polish citizens fared very, very badly at the hands of the UPA, OUN-UPA and the 14th Waffen-SS Division, the Nachtigall Battalion and others. Thousands of Poles were slaughtered in brutal fashion by the OUNB forces in World War II. However, it would appear that political memory in Poland is no better than it is here in the U.S., and it's all but non-existent here in the land of the brave and the home of, at least for the time being, free. Skipping down. Last weekend, Radoslaw Sikorski, S-I-K-O-R-S-K-I, until recently as Poland's foreign minister, one of the EU's most involved politicians in the Ukrainian conflict, was quoted claiming that in February of 2008, Russian President Vladimir Putin proposed to him and the Polish Prime Minister at the time, Donald Tusk, T-U-S-K, that Ukraine be divided up between Poland and Russia. Skipping down. Sikorski already had had to admit that, contrary to his earlier allegations, he had not even been present at the said meeting. He had been told that a, quote, similar, unquote, statement had been made. Sikorski has now also admitted that the meeting in question had not even taken place. That has received no coverage in our media. Again, not only is the allegation false, there was no bleeping meeting at all. Again, when I refer to the coverage in this country and apparently in other Western countries as well as Orwellian, I mean Orwellian. It is surreal. Now, we have spoken about the Azov Battalion. That is a specifically neo-Nazi battalion that has engaged in some horrifying atrocities. Azov Battalion members apparently were involved in some of the burnings that took place in eastern Ukraine, in both Odessa and the city of Mariupol. Pro-Russian separatists, many of them not combatants at all, were herded into public buildings, which were then set on fire, and the people inside were burned alive, while people, their executioners, outside chanted Nazi slogans, and SS graffiti were put on the buildings. And again, the Azov Battalion also featured foreign fighters, and members of it may very well have been involved in the snipings in the Kiev during the Maidan demonstrations. The killings of some demonstrators and some police basically lit the torch to the political tinder in Kiev and Ukraine. I think if I live to be 100, which I hope I will, I don't think I'm ever going to get used to using very short Twitter feed or Facebook posts as journalistic fodder. But this is the new age. From Antifa, Twitter feed of October 26th of 2014. Antifa, by the way, is European political shorthand for anti-fascist. The Ukraine Antifa Twitter feed of October 26th of this year, 2014. A. Beletsky, neo-Nazi, Azov Regiment commander, social nationalist, a leader elected with support from Popular Front. The Popular Front, or People's Front, or National Front, as it has been translated, is the party of Arseniy Yatsenyuk, the Prime Minister of Ukraine, and it finished second behind Poroshenko bloc, the party of Petro Poroshenko. And Yatsenyuk, by the way, was the politician of choice of Victoria Nuland, the Deputy Secretary of State, who was helping to push the whole Maidan coup. She also was very favorably disposed to Svoboda, and she suggested that Yatsenyuk, or Yats, as she called them, Y-A-T-S, should meet several times a week with the head of Svoboda, Ole Tyanovuk, in order to gain political advice. Again, Andrei Beletsky, the commander of the Azov Battalion, is now in parliament as part of Arseniy Yatsenyuk's Popular Front. The deputy director of, deputy commander, I should say, of the Azov Battalion, the number two, Beletsky's number two, is now chief of police in Kiev. He was named as such by the, by Arseniy Avakov, A-V-A-K-O-V, the Interior Ministry, Interior Minister, I should say, of Ukraine. And as I noted inside one briefly, with the deputy commander of the Azov Battalion as chief of police in the capital of Ukraine, good effing luck to anybody who wants to differ with official policy or wishes to express political dissent. Again, it'll be like having the number two man in a Waffen-SS unit as chief of police in Berlin. Good luck to anybody who wishes to voice their political differences with the regime. This, by the way, is a post from October 31st of 2014, very appropriate for something that came to light on Halloween. Avakov appointed chief of police of Kiev region, and then Zemkombata Azov, I think means deputy, or the Azov battalion, or deputy commander of Azov battalion. This is a Google translation, so bear with me on this. I'm only going to read part of it. Much of it is strictly idiomatic translation, and as such doesn't play real well. Ukrainian Interior Minister Arsen Avakov, appointed Chief of Investigation of Affairs in Kiev, the Deputy Battalion Commander of the Azov, Vadim Troyan, capital V-A-D-I-M is his first name, capital T-R-O-Y-A-N is his last name. Skipping down. Avakov added that Troyan is a graduate of a police academy, has experience, is trusted because he is well established in the ATO. He helped to free Mariupol with the Azov and described some of the other battles he was in. Mariupol, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, was a city in which pro-Russian separatist demonstrators were herded into a building, which was then set on fire, and they were burned alive while their attackers chanted political slogans, including Nazi and fascist slogans, outside and put SS graffiti on the building. And again, the deputy commander of one of those units that appears to have been involved in that is now chief of police in Kiev. So good luck to anybody in Kiev who wants to express political dissent. With the lustration laws now in effect and being pushed by Petro Poroshenko, and with Svetlana Zalashuk, the Pierre Omidyar-financed aide to Poroshenko, now a member of parliament, basically pushing those laws, and having the deputy commander of the Azov battalion as chief of police in Kiev, I don't think that we're going to see a great deal of free political expression in Ukraine. Other members of the Azov battalion who have made it into parliament, this again from Ukraine Antifa Twitter feed of October 26th of 2014, Igor Mosychuk, M-O-S-I-Y-C-H-U-K, Nazi, Azov Regiment, Social Nationalist Assembly, elected to Ukraine Parliament. And another Azov associate, I guess we could say, is worth noting here. We talked earlier in the GermanForeignPolicy.com post, Nationalist Upsurge, of Tatiana Chernoval. She was formerly affiliated with the UNA, UNSO, then affiliated with the Azov Battalion. Her husband was a combatant in the Azov Battalion. He was fatally wounded, killed in action in August of this year, and he was a close ally of Kiev Mayor Vitaly Klitschko. Again, Klitschko of Petro Poroshenko's bloc, groomed for political office by the CDU-affiliated Konrad Adenauer Foundation in Germany. One of the things that's worth noting here is that Chernoval was appointed to lead the implementation of Ukraine's new anti-corruption task force. That appointment was by Poroshenko. It would certainly appear that she is the one who will be helping to implement the lustration laws that were put into power by, again, the moderate Petro Poroshenko, and that were proposed by Svoboda. By the way, Poroshenko, there is a link in the description to, for the record, 817. Poroshenko has approved the establishment of October 14th as a national holiday in Ukraine. Again, there's a link to that in the description for this. I'm not going to bother to read it. It is simply a fact. But again, note that a top aide to the, quote, moderate Vitaly Klitschko, of the mayor of Kiev, and a key aide to Petro Poroshenko, another, quote, moderate, unquote, was a member of the Azov Battalion. The following article is from Mashable.com of August 10th of 2014 at M-A-S-H-A-B-L-E.com. This is by Christopher Miller, M-O-I-L-E-R, husband of Kiev Revolution hero killed in battle. A close ally of Kiev Mayor Vitaly Klitschko and the husband of prominent journalist-turned-activist Tatiana Chernozol was killed in action in the country's conflict-torn east on Sunday. Nikola Berezovy, B-E-R-A-Z-O-V-Y, 37, was fighting with the Azov Battalion, a group of volunteer fighters under the control of the Interior Ministry against Russian-backed rebels in the town of Ilovaisk, I-L-O-V-A-I-S-K, A-S-K, some 30 miles southeast of the separatist stronghold of Donetsk, when he was fatally wounded by a sniper's bullet, said Anton Gerashenko, an advisor to Interior Minister Arsen Avakov. That's that advisor, G-E-R-A-S-C-H-E-N-K-O. Skipping down. Under the new government, Chernozol was appointed to lead Ukraine's anti-corruption task force. Skipping down again. Berezovy, the former head of Klitschko's Ukrainian Democratic Alliance for Reform, or UDAR party, in what is now rebel-occupied Orlivka, Donetsk region, bled out while waiting for medical assistance to arrive at the scene. Orlivka, H-O-R-L-I-V-K-A. So again, note that not only is Tatiana Chernozol, associated with the Azov Battalion and formerly UNA, UNSO, and the Popular Front of Prime Minister and, quote, moderate, unquote, Arseniy Yatsenyuk. Not only is she heading up the Ukrainian anti-corruption task force and then will almost certainly be implementing the lustration laws proposed by Svoboda, decreed by Petro Poroshenko, and being basically expedited by Pierre Omidyar-financed Poroshenko ally and member of parliament, Svetlana Zalushuk. Her late Azov battalion combatant husband was a key aide of Vitaly Klitschko of the Poroshenko bloc, and was the head of Vitaly Klitschko's UDAR party in Ukraine. It's a very interesting story in the Daily Beast of September 19th of 2014. It's by Anna Nemtsova, N-E-M-T-S-O-V-A. Ukraine's president wowed Congress, but his party has a dark side. Now, what is so interesting about this article is the spin. It's pointing out that pro-EU and presumably pro-democracy with a small d members of the Ukrainian political cadre have been criticizing Poroshenko for incorporating these very fascist elements, and the substance of their criticism is that it plays into the hands of Vladimir Putin. The subtitle to this post, Activists and Opponents Warn That Poroshenko's Embrace of Ultra-Rightists Plays into the Hands of Vladimir Putin. Again, very interesting spin. What simply never occurs to people, and again, this is quasi-Orwellian, is that basically Putin is right. Again, the Orwellian nature of things, the coverage of Ukraine in the West. If President Putin and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov had a press conference and said 2 + 2 = 4. The way this would be spun was that at a press conference, Russian President Vladimir Putin and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said that 2 + 2 = 4. This claim has been repeated in the Russian media, and the allegation has become a major feature of Russian mathematical propaganda. I mean, it is that bad. This post reads in part, experts who monitor ultra-right-wing groups and hate crimes have sent an open letter asking Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk, a key Poroshenko supporter, to exclude several Ukrainian nationalist leaders from his newly founded People's Front Party. These activists reminded Yatsenyuk and Poroshenko that some of the public figures appointed as the party candidates for the upcoming October parliamentary elections are openly anti-Semitic and are not known to have renounced their views. They promote radical Ukrainian nationalism, racism, and neo-Nazi ideology, the heady brew of loathsome doctrines that Russian President Vladimir Putin and his backers have warned about since the February change of power in Kiev. In photographs of the recent Party Congress, Yatsenyuk and former acting president Alexander Turchynov stood shoulder to shoulder with Andrei Beletsky, a leader in the far-right Patriots of Ukraine and the Social Nationalist Assembly. Also, as we saw, the commander of the Azov Battalion. They talk about the Azov Battalion and other people associated with that. Skipping down, in a recent interview with the Daily Beast in Kiev, Gregory Nomura, M-E-M-I-R-A, head of the European Integration Committee in the Ukraine Parliament and a close ally of former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, said that Poroshenko preferred to delegate the responsibility for what happened on the front lines to volunteer commanders and not the defense ministries. And skipping down, the Military Council of the People's Front welcomed a commander of the Dnieper 1 Battalion, D-N-P-E-R, 1 Battalion, Yuri Birch, B-I-R-C-H. He is one of the fascists that they were referring to. Andrei Parubiy, a co-founder of Patriots of Ukraine back in the 1990s, also has found a role in the pro-Poroshenko camp. Now, Andrei Parubiy is a member of Svoboda, or was. He also was the defense minister of the Ukrainian government under the provisional government that initiated and prosecuted the war in eastern Ukraine. He also is an advisor to Poroshenko. So, again, is Andrei Beletsky, and Beletsky also part of the military council of Arseniy Yatsenyuk. Oleh Makhnitsky, another Svoboda member, also a former cabinet minister. He was the justice minister in the provisional government, is yet another Poroshenko advisor. One of the points that I'm going to do my best to sum up some of the evolutionary history of what is taking place in Ukraine, is the fact that citing these overt sort of street Nazis as examples of the fascists that are in the, quote, moderate, unquote, camp, is simply fallacious. Again, Poroshenko is adopting, is supporting the lustration laws initiated by Svoboda, and he also declared October 14th to be a holiday, thereby commemorating the OUN-UPA, as we saw earlier. In fact, the evolution of the current political landscape in Ukraine has taken place over the better part of 100 years now, and there is a direct line of succession from the OUNB of the World War II era right on up through the present. The OUNB, again under Stefan Bandera, were military allies of Nazi Germany. The World War II government of Ukraine that collaborated with the Third Reich was headed up by a guy named Yaroslav Stetsko. That's an S-T-E-T-S-K-O. You'll also see that S-T-E-T-Z-K-O. And the first name transliterated variously as well. Stetsko and Stefan Bandera specifically endorsed the Nazi ethnic cleansing methodology and put it into place in Ukraine, slaughtering tens of thousands of Jews and Poles in Ukraine. They also, with the OUN-UPA commanded by a guy named Roman Shukievich, his son Yuri Shukievich, also became an OUN-UPA or UIA, Ukrainian Insurgent Army functionary, and also was involved with the development of UNA, UNSO, and Pravi Sektor. Again, Roman Shukievich was the head of the Einsatzgruppe Nachtigall and the OUN-UPA. He presided over the, among other things, the Nachtigall Battalion and its massacre of Jews in the city of Lvov. A street in the Lvov district after the Maidan coup was named in honor of the Nachtigall Battalion. That's like calling a street Hitler Avenue. The OUN-UPA maintained a continuous guerrilla war in parts of Ukraine throughout the closing days of World War II with their fascist commanders. They then conducted it almost up to 1952 with support from the Galen Organization and an element of the CIA called the Office of Policy Coordination, headed up by Frank Wisner. The use of OUNB and other fascist guerrillas as, quote, freedom fighters, unquote, was part of a covert operation headed up by Alan Dulles. The project was called the Crusade for Freedom, and it had an illegal domestic component as well. The Crusade for Freedom was headed up by Richard Nixon. Its chief spokesperson was Ronald Reagan, and the State Department machinations to bring thousands of Third Reich collaborators, including entire SS intelligence units and many elements of OUNB, into the U.S., was headed up by William Casey, who became Ronald Reagan's campaign manager and then was named director of CIA by Reagan. They evolved into a formal Nazi element of the Republican Party, the Republican Ethnic Heritage Council, that was viewed as being able to deliver the vote in five swing states in presidential election years. Stetsko became and was the head of the OUND, and also something called the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, which was the renaming of the Committee of Subjugated Nations formed by Adolf Hitler in 1943. When he died, Stetsko died. His widow, Slava Stetsko, became head of the OUND. When Reagan was elected, we basically saw the Crusade for Freedom become an administration with Reagan as president. George Bush as vice president. George Bush had made the Nazi element of the Republican Party a permanent element of the GOP when he was head of the Republican National Committee. The Reagan administration appointed, again, Ekaterina Chumachenko, a key OUNB operative, as deputy director of public liaison. Another OUNB functionary, Lev Dobryansky, was appointed Reagan's ambassador to the Bahamas, and his daughter Paula Dobryansky was appointed to Reagan's National Security Council. She later became an assistant secretary of state under George W. Bush, and by the way, was head of the Tibet desk as well when working for state. Reagan implemented what was known as liberation theory, or rollback theory. That was a Third Reich political warfare strategy that was basically evolved through the bowels of the Galen Organization. And as the Soviet Union was breaking up, the Free Congress Foundation used as its liberation component basically the same OUND ABN people who had moved into the country and up into the Republican Party as part of the Free Congress Foundation. Laszlo Pastor, the head of the Republican Ethnic Heritage Groups Council, was head of the Free Congress Foundation's liberation element and saw to it that many of these fascist and Nazi collaborators were projected into power in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. Yaroslav Stetsko's personal secretary, Roman Savarich, along with Slava Stetsko, Yaroslav Stetsko's widow, formed the Ukrainian National Congress, a pivotal element in post-Ukrainian politics in all of these administrations. Roman Savarich, Stetsko's personal secretary, became the Minister of Justice in both Tymoshenko governments and under Viktor Yushchenko, who basically rewrote Ukrainian politics and history in an Orwellian fashion, in favor of the OUNB. And his wife was the former Ekaterina Chumachenko, again, OUNB/UCCA functionary and former deputy director of public liaison under Ronald Reagan. There is a full printout of this synoptic history, the point being that these elements have evolved over the better part of 100 years, and simply singling out the neo-Nazis like Beletsky, the Svoboda people, etc., is to ignore the fact that people like Roman Zvorich, Ekaterina Chumachenko, and others were projected into power by powerful elements in this country and Germany over a period of decades. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record, program number 818. Can You Put Lipstick on a Nazi? Part 3. Update on Ukraine and timeline of the evolution of Ukrainian fascism, being recorded on November 6th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.